What's up, everybody, and welcome to Cindy's Birthday Party, the hip-hop podcast that looks at rap music and hip-hop culture from a historical and philosophical perspective. My name is Danny, and my co-host Eric is here with me, a.k.a. Big E.
Big E in the house. What's happening, y'all? We're back.
Yes, we are.
Slight hiatus, but we're back.
Yeah, so, you know, we're doing this podcast out of love, everybody. So, you know, we still have regular things in our lives that we have to tend to that take priority over this, unfortunately, for now. So last week was one of those times when life took priority over doing the show, and so we were not here because we had to take care of some business.
Now, when y'all are ready to actually, like, give up a whole bunch of money and support us, we can do this, like, every day if you like, you know, that way we don't have to be missing in action for the, you know, for brief little moments. But yeah, like Danny was saying, you know, real life comes into play. We do this out of love, and real life does come into play, and business has to be handled. So
exactly. And now our third co-host, Zay, is still dealing with some medical issues, so he's not here today. So I want to give Zay a shout out because I know he'll be listening at some point.
Big up, Zay, get better soon, man.
Yeah. And so yeah, he's it's nothing major, but it's something that was going to keep him out, so he wasn't able to make it.
No, man, you don't need to be here with that condition. We keep it personal between us in
right.
here.
Stay at home for
yeah,
now.
Stay home. But get better though, brother, for real. Yeah.
No doubt, no doubt. So we always say, you know, for those of you who may be listening for the first time, the show is called Cindy's Birthday Party. It is called that because DJ Kool Herc, the godfather and creator of hip hop culture and the art form that we know as hip hop. The first time he did what he did was at his sister Cindy's birthday party. So it is an homage and a salute to the creator of the culture, because that's what we discuss, especially since we often cover a lot of things that are historical in nature on the show.
Yep.
But the other part of this is we say historical and philosophical, right? So we're going to get into it a little bit philosophically today. But we want to also point out the fact that, hey, we're guys in our 40s. We've been hip-hop fans literally since its inception on records. You know what else? Before I go any further, Eric, I just realized, man, I got to give a big shout-out and a belated birthday to rap records themselves, because September 16th, as you probably already know, was the day that 40 years ago that Rapper's Delight was actually released as a single.
Yes.
Right, and since we weren't here last week, we couldn't give it, you know, its proper due and say, hey, happy birthday. But happy birthday to recorded rap music being 40 years old.
Indeed. Thank you, Sylvia Robinson and Sugar Hill Records for that.
Thank you, Big Bank Hank, for stealing Grandmaster Caz's rhymes.
Right.
I don't really know if you should be thanked for that, but, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you did it, so, hey, you know. How that goes.
Right.
But rap music as a recorded art form is 40 years old. And we, as the hosts of this show of Cindy's Birthday Party, we're in our 40s. So when we say we've been around since its inception and since the beginning, we kind of get an idea.
Means that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we mean. We've known this dude for a long time.
That's real. Yes. That's real talk. Yep. So
a lot of times we talk about what it was like back in the day, what we used to listen to, you know, what we did, what we don't like about now. So, we take a little different path today and maybe talk about some of the things that we do like.
Yes.
Because there is, I mean, you know, would you agree there is stuff that's being made that we do like?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are a lot of younger artists who are not falling into the instant trap mode or trap music mode. And are not falling into the mumble rap mode. They are actually spitting good lyrics with good cadence, good beats behind it. So, you know, yeah, that's like, you know, the very authentic hip hop, in my, at least in my book. So
right.
I can appreciate that. You know, keep doing what you're doing, young guys.
Yeah, and it's more, it's not trap. It's more boom bap.
Yeah.
Which
right.
is, you know, what we come up on, and that's why, you know, we're probably a little more receptive to it.
Yeah.
But one of the albums, my favorite album that I've heard this year, man, May the Lord Watch by Little Brother.
Ah.
For those of you who don't know, maybe, Little Brother is a duo from Durham, North Carolina. Man, this stuff is outstanding. All of it. I'm a huge Little Brother fan.
Definitely. Yeah, anyway. Since they first dropped on the scene,
right.
I fell in love with them. They were all right. Yeah,
no doubt. But this last album, man, May the Lord Watch, is so good. And it's so good to hear an album come out in this era that I don't know, maybe they wouldn't agree with this, but it feels almost like it's more catered towards our generation.
Mm, yeah, they have a more grown-up sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they've kind of come to terms with whatever little gripes and beefs they had, and it's like, look, we're too good of a group to sit back and not make good music. We have fans out here that are, like, kind of clamoring for us to come back into the fray and get back into it. So mm-hmm. I think they kind of, you know, used some sense and was like, okay, hey, let's you know, get back into making music. And also get back into making money because
right.
the music makes money. So that's really what you're there for. You know, of course, the love is there also. But, you know, bottom line, you're there to make, you know, sales and you know, improve your life. So
right.
they seem to be more grown up and like in what they did. So I applaud them for that.
Yeah. I think it's an excellent album. The skits on there are hilarious.
As always.
Especially if you're familiar with their earlier work, it's like a continuation from The Minstrel Show in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, there's stuff on there that had me dying laughing.
Yeah.
Especially the one about Percy Miracles.
I was about to say, Percy Miracles is back.
And the fact that they have killed him off as a character.
Yeah.
And he's got a funeral, but they're charging $70 or whatever to go to his funeral. And it's just, that's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
But again, excellent album. And just really, I feel like kind of tailored towards our generation in terms of a lot of the style of the music. Of course, lyrically, they've always been tight, so
yeah.
You know, no surprises there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another artist that I've been listening to a lot lately is, and this is somewhat related to them, kind of 6 degrees of separation type thing. Rhapsody, who is produced by Ninth Wonder, who mm-hmm. was formerly a member of Little Brother.
Right.
Although he is not associated with them on this current project. So I wanted to point that out.
Right.
A lot of people still thinking it's Ninth. Ninth had nothing to do with it. So there's a few interviews out there where Fonte and Pooh are explaining why Ninth's not a part of this mm-hmm. album. But he is a part of Rhapsody's album, and Rhapsody's album is really tight, though.
Yeah. I like her, but in a sense, I don't like her. There are things about her that I don't like. I think Ninth paid way too much attention to her and sort of pushed aside the careers of other rappers he had in the Jamla camp, and you don't really hear from them. Some of them have actually moved on, and I don't know if that's, you know, the case, of course, and this happens with groups or with – you know, artists that are female and they're with male producers or male members of the group, sometimes the line gets crossed and, you know, you end up having relationships with them or whatever. I don't know if that's the case or not between them, but they seem very close, closer than, you know, what just artists and producer. And it could be, it may not be, but he does pay a lot of attention to her, I think. And that's just one of my little beefs, my old man type beefs. I think some other rappers got sacrificed for her and
pushed
to the wayside. And also one other thing with her that gets on my nerves when she's on some albums with people, like, why does she have to rhyme with the beat totally off, as if we already know you flow well. She's a great MC. You don't need to like turn the beat off. Like, the beat will be flowing, everybody else will do their thing with the beat going, and then it gets to her and it's like, they silence the beat and it's just her rhyming. I'm like, she does that a lot.
Yeah, I wonder about that too. I wonder if it's
it's okay.
If they want to just focus, like if they're trying to say, hey, she's so dope lyrically, we want to make sure you catch her words or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't need to do it, but okay, so be it. Like,
yeah,
go for it.
But I tell you, I can't remember the name of the song now that she has with GZA and D'Angelo. It's one they actually made the single for when she's saying, trying to catch a wave. Well, I can't, but it's actually GZA's beat.
Uh-huh.
And she just, well, everybody kills it on there. D'Angelo's singing the hook on it.
Yeah.
And, of course, GZA rhymes on it. You know it's going to be tight. GZA from the Wu-Tang Clan, y'all.
Yes.
And then, of course, Rhapsody rhymes on it. And you know, but getting back to what you were saying, though, about Ninth Wonder and Rhapsody, I wonder if that is partly because she's signed to Roc Nation.
Mm.
So maybe she gets a little more attention.
That's a possibility.
She's got more of an opportunity to maybe cross over and have a larger impact.
Possibly.
And then the other thing, I wonder if it is because he feels, well, she's lyrically the best, and so I pay attention to her more. I mean, you know, it's almost like if you have the Juice Crew, are you going to focus more time on Big Daddy Kane? You're going to focus more time on MC Shan.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and it's not to say that, you know, you can't make hits with Shan, but maybe you've got a bigger chance or better chance of doing something else with Kane.
Yeah.
So you focus more on Kane. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you do have a point though that it does seem that Ninth has worked more with her.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Than
yeah.
he is with some of the other artists. But I tell you, one of the songs on the album, and I really should have had all of the album titles in front of me, but it's a song that she has with Queen Latifah on there, and man, you know what? I'm gonna look it up while we're actually on here talking, Eric. Because
hey, go for it.
If we're gonna be on here, so if we're gonna tell people all of this great stuff, we need to be able to tell them what the songs are called. Because really, folks, one of the main reasons we're doing this is because we want to make sure that people know that this good music exists, and that it is out there, and we're listening to a lot of other stuff too. The song with Queen Latifah is called, I can never pronounce this, but it's the Egyptian Queen, Hatshepsut. I'm not going to even embarrass myself.
Hey, wait.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's,
oh, man, hell, it's
track number 14.
Number 14?
Yeah. It's an Egyptian queen, and I know the name.
Oh, man, I'm not even going to do that either. Have my tongue tied in knots. No, thank you.
But
yeah, you go for it.
I will just do this, folks. To prevent me from making a fool out of myself, if you go to the name of the album is called Eve. It's by Rhapsody. And all of the tracks are named after powerful black women throughout history. And so track number 14 also has Queen Latifah on it. And the song is outstanding. As a matter of fact, I would say that Latifah's verse on there probably overshadows Rhapsody, and that does not happen very often.
No doubt. Okay.
Yeah.
Queen.
But it is a really good album.
Yep.
Another album, Eric, that you and I had discussed the last few days, Sky Zoo and Pete Rock.
Fire.
Retropolitan.
Fire. Yeah, man. I when I saw you posted it, I did not know really that Sky Zoo was even active in doing anything. Another Ninth Wonder disciple who kind of was around. He's been around for a good many years.
Yeah, he has.
And he just kind of faded away for a little bit. And you kind of, you know, once he's in your rear view, you just don't, your eyes are always going forward and I guess your ears in a sense. But he got with Pete Rock on this one. And man, yeah.
Yeah. It's a tight album.
Yeah.
If you really like mid-90s East Coast hip-hop, I would say, you will definitely like this album.
Yeah, Pete Rock definitely helps with his production and his beat-making, gives it that kind of 90s feel and that old-school, wonderful feel to it. And you hear, you know Pete Rock's beats, and you hear the samples and the style with it. So it just makes, for me, I was like listening to it, and it's just, like, man, this is like feel good music for me. So
yeah, because you didn't have to skip any tracks.
No,
for a change. You know?
Exactly.
That was one of the things I liked about it too.
Just let it ride. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
and I think you and I several years ago on Facebook had a conversation about Sky Zoo, and I remember saying back then, you know, he's okay or whatever, you know, but he didn't really he never really moved me like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has gotten exponentially better.
Yeah.
As an MC.
Leaps and bounds, yeah.
No doubt about it, because I really liked the stuff that I heard from him on this album.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, man, Sky Zoo got down on here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's just that, you know, just a natural progression of getting better, which is probably a part of it, or if it's, you know, when you get excellent production from somebody like Pete Rock.
Yeah, good production helps. And also, I think just sitting down and taking time and coming up with great punchlines and clever wordplay make a difference. Because yes. He has some very clever little lines on there, and that impressed me from him. I was like, okay, this is great coming from him. Because like you say, I never was overly crazy about his work, but
right.
You know, he was solid, you know.
Yeah, and I always respected him as an artist.
Yeah.
But it just was never anything that I really got excited about before.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't rushing to the stores to buy anything, but who buys anything?
Right, you just download.
Download.
But yeah. You know, Pete Rock did an album a few years ago with Smoke Dizza.
Okay.
And I cannot remember the name, but it was also very, very good.
Mm.
And Smoke Dizza is, again, one of those artists that I'm not necessarily out there checking for all
right.
the time. But his project with Pete Rock was really, really good, though. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Pete Rock is the key.
Right, bringing out the best in MCs. So,
yeah, if you got Pete Rock on your production, maybe that's what happens, you know.
Can't hurt.
No, it cannot.
Not
but
one
you
bit.
Had a you had a few albums and artists that you've been listening to.
It's more just artists I made a list of, and I was just kind of peeping their stuff and going back over some of their things. Interestingly enough, Mac Miller, who rest in peace, is now
rest
gone.
In peace.
One of those type artists where my son, who is 23, he listened to back when Mac Miller first was out, and I just, you know, good stuff, okay, but I was, I guess, railing against anybody young, so he just fell into the category of just being one of those young, new wave rappers.
And it was like,
right, yeah, so yeah, get off my lawn type thing. But the more I sat back and listened to him, I appreciated his rhymes. He got deep and talked about things about himself and his issues that he was going through, and then just simply because he could rhyme. He has, you know, like I said, there are specifics as far as the cadence and the, you know, the style that I enjoy hearing. Quite honestly, I think those type rappers, whether they're young, old, or whatever, they're more sustainable. Their careers can be a little more sustainable. Mm-hmm. Take, for example, like you have your older guys like Master Ace, Big Daddy Kane, Ghostface, you know, Wu-Tang members. You know, they're in their mm-hmm. 40s. Master Ace is like 52, mm-hmm. and he's still out here making music. His stuff is still, it can still be made and still be sustainable. He could keep rhyming for as long as he wanted, you know.
Right.
Whereas the issue I have with these younger rappers now, with this sort of mumbly jumbly rapping that they're doing, I don't believe it to be sustainable 10 years from now. And a lot of them, I don't think, are necessarily serious about, like, continuing this as a career for, let's say, 10, 20 years down the road. It's just something, oh, boy, made a record, I'm going to make a record. And a lot of these guys, from listening to my son, he always seems to have a lot of history behind these rappers with all these strange names that I've never heard of. But he'll put somebody on, and it'll be some dude, and I'm like, what is this you listening to? And he'll say what it is, da-da-da. He's like, well, yeah, dude, he's down with some gang or something like this, and he has decided that he is going to be a rapper. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, is he in it for, like, the sake of being a hip-hop artist and continuing, or is he just doing this because, something to do,
right.
let me, yeah, you know.
Right, right.
So,
Mac Miller was one that you had listened to, and
yeah.
that you enjoyed, and who else did you?
Freddie Gibbs is another guy.
Yeah.
I really enjoy his stuff.
The new Freddie Gibbs and Madlib album, Bandana, is excellent.
Yeah,
it's really, really good.
And I've only heard a few songs off of that, but yeah, the ones I heard, it was like, okay, definitely, I can see myself.
The song on there called Paul Maliff, I think, it's got Pusha T on it and Killer Mike doing the hook. To me, that's one of the best on the album. He's also got a song on there with Black Thought and Mos Def. Did you already know when you've got a song with Black Thought and Mos Def, it's already going to be great.
Two of the greatest MCs from a lyrical standpoint, yes. You know, that
and
have
Madlib's
ever graced
production,
it.
Again, it's one of those things where you've got a dude on here that's doing production that is of a certain quality throughout. It's one of the reasons why you see a lot lately in the last few years where guys will have they'll do these collaborative efforts with a great producer,
mm-hmm.
because you know when you think about DJ Premier and Royce the 5'9" doing the Prime,
right?
The two Prime albums, same thing. You know, if you're Skyzoo and you're doing an album with Pete Rock, if you're Premier and you're doing an album, if you're Royce, you're doing an album with Premier, or Freddie Gibbs doing it with Madlib, you know, you don't have to worry about the quality of production ever suffering throughout the album.
None.
Some songs may be better than others, but nothing on there is going to be a throwaway.
Right.
Or going to be trash. This Freddie Gibbs and Madlib is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Palmolive is to me the most standout because the music is almost intoxicating on that song.
Mm.
But everything on there is good. And because I think that the production and the beats are so good, it really helps Freddie to kind of step his game up too. And he's already a very good rapper, but
yeah.
It just helps him to elevate even a little bit more.
And I think, yeah, a lot of the artists, like you mentioned, when you do a collaboration with some of these great producers that have been around for, you know, 20 years or more, you got to come with it. You know, I think, mm-hmm. Think back to there's moments when you're with greatness that you yourself have to be kind of great as well. Biggie, when Shaq, when he did the song, Still Can't Stop the Rain,
mm-hmm.
with Biggie, you can't come on there rapping with that Fushnikins nonsense you was doing. You got to come
right.
with something. And not that he was fantastic, but you can tell he put some effort. Shaq put some effort in it, saying, okay, I'm rhyming with Biggie. I need to, you know, kind of step my game up. And
right.
that's what these young guys rapping with these great producers are doing. It kind of, like you say, brings the best out of them, and they come with it. So
yeah, another collaborative effort that I have been listening to that I really like is Murs and Ninth Wonder.
Yeah, Murs has always been a good artist I've enjoyed. Yeah.
Always. And I didn't realize, I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, and I knew that Murs and Ninth had done a lot together,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't realize that almost every project that they have, like, they've been doing music since, like, the early 2000s
mm-hmm.
together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realize it at the time. I was like, yeah, that did come out then, or, you know, or some of the stuff that they've done so much music together that the dates and times have kind of blurred together
exactly.
in my mind.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I thought came out in 2005 came out in 2012. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah. It's like that. I can recall riding home from work listening to Murs tracks, and this was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, he has been around and out there. Quick thing with Murs, though, I don't know if you heard the – and another good point with that – I did not know about this song. He has a song out, Hustle, with John Cena, the wrestler of all.
Well, you know, John Cena's a big hip-hop fan.
Right. And
yeah.
And so I had never heard it before. And when I saw, you know, Murs featuring John Cena, I'm looking at it like, I know this ain't John Cena, the wrestler John Cena.
John
I'm waiting
Cena
for just
wrestler.
Some dude using his name or whatever. And then here comes John Cena in the video, of course, pile driving people on the street as he's rhyming, walking down the street, scooping people up, slamming them on the ground, and
yeah.
airplanes spinning them and all kind of nonsense
it's funny
like
because,
that.
The dude I was talking about earlier, Smoke Dizza, that I said that did the album with Pete Rock, he has an album with, if you're familiar with the underground wrestler New Jack, not to get too far off our subject
right.
here, but it's similar to that where it's the song is basically a dedication to New Jack, and New Jack is in the video, you know, stapling people in the head and all kind of crazy stuff
yeah,
like he
yeah.
normally would be. But yeah, but Murs is a dope artist, and his style really fits well with Ninth Wonder, and I guess that's why they've done so much together over the past several years.
Yeah.
They have a bond and a kinship that you can really feel it comes out in their music. But this recent album that they had that they released this year, Seth said the Iliad is dead, or it's the title is based on the Iliad and the Odyssey, from Greek mythology
right.
and
mm-hmm.
literature, but a lot of it is Murs rhyming about personal stuff that has happened in his life, which is really interesting. And the production, a lot of it is, even though you can tell it's Ninth Wonder, it feels a little different from your average Ninth stuff that you would expect from Ninth.
Yeah.
At least it did to me. It felt like it was a little bit different than it normally would be with Ninth Wonder. But Murs and Ninth, I don't think they've ever put out anything that was substandard. Everything that they've always done has been of quality.
Yep.
So now this is one that I just came out a few weeks ago. So Razzcast,
veteran of the game,
yep, and dope lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
He just released Soul on Ice 2.
Really?
Yes.
And CAA, I did not know about this until I saw you. You sent me that text saying Razzcast, and I'm like, Razzcast?
Yeah, I know that. I caught you off guard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's done music. He did an album with Apollo Brown.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Dope album. Dope, I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he released Soul on Ice 2. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Razzcast, he's a well-known underground MC from California. And he had an album that is considered an underground classic called Soul on Ice that came out in the 90s. And he released Soul on Ice 2. And for those of you who are familiar with Soul on Ice, if you hear Soul on Ice 2, you will be pleased.
Yeah.
I will put it like that. It is a worthy sequel, a worthy successor to the first one.
Right. Quick note on him, though, also, he's the dude, if you don't know, everyone, of course, loving Jadakiss.
Yes.
I already know what you're going to say. Yeah, the Alchemist
beat. We're going to make it.
So initially, Razzcast had that beat.
Yes, he did.
And got it from Alchemist and evidently did not pay him for it, as a lot of that happens sometimes. And that was that We Gonna Make It beat that everyone loved. I know I loved and bumped,
everybody
still bump, to this day. Yes, no doubt.
The way it starts off.
Yeah, is incredible. And, that was Razzcast's beat beforehand, and I guess he didn't pay Alchemist. And
He paid Alchemist later. He paid him.
Oh, yeah.
Not in money.
Yeah.
he paid him in these hands and feet.
Yeah, with these 1-2s on him, yeah. But, that
two
was...
Two piece with a biscuit.
Right. with filet of soul included. but that was... On his song "Home Sweet Home," that beat was initially his, and if you can find it, YouTube probably has it as well. So that just gives you like a little background on him. So
yes, if you don't know Razzcast, he's an interesting cat. He's had beef with various people. He's widely respected though, pretty much across all circles of hip hop.
Yeah,
always been an underground guy. Never had that breakout hit, whatever.
No,
but always been a guy that is respected. If whoever your favorite rapper is, he's probably one of their favorite rappers. He's that type of guy.
Yeah.
And he's got, and like I said, the Soul on Ice 2 is a great project. Man, he's got a song on there where he called it's his Grammy acceptance speech.
Yeah.
He says, since I'll never win one, lyrically, it's just a typical Razzcast.
He is
a monster on the microphone. He always has been, you know. Yeah. And that album is definitely along that same line, like I said.
Yeah.
But he's somebody that as far as albums go, I wanted to put that out there because that's one that I've been listening to lately that I really enjoy as well.
Yeah.
I want to say this too. So this is a kid that my baby brother told me about. So, and he's actually from Atlanta, from the Atlanta area. For those who don't know, we're broadcasting and we're recording this from Real Fan Studios here in Atlanta.
ATL
shouty. but this kid, JID, really young kid. Super dope lyrically. Now, some of his music, production-wise, a little too trappish for me. But not everything he rhymes on has that trap feel.
Okay.
But lyrically, man, he is so he's very mature lyrically.
Mm.
Some of his subject matter surprised me for a cat that young. I know he's affiliated with J. Cole in a lot of ways as well.
Ah.
J. Cole did a compilation album that came out here like maybe a couple of months ago. And JID's on several tracks on there. I saw him on, he did a Funkmaster Flex freestyle. He was on, I know he was on Shade 45 with K Slay. He ripped it on there when they had him. He was rhyming over Nas's Uchiwali.
Ah, okay. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a really talented young cat, man. I don't know what his age is, but looking at him, I'm pretty sure he's under 25.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he's an example of someone that can that makes music that, even though he's very young, someone in our demographic can still appreciate
right.
the music and still appreciate him as an artist.
Yeah.
Well, but JID is, and my brother keeps telling me, excuse me, my brother keeps telling me, man, he's going to be the next one to blow up in Atlanta. And I really hope that he is, because I think that in a lot of ways, from hip-hop purists and people who really appreciate lyrical content in particular, Atlanta gets a very bad rap because most of the artists here who do make it big are not necessarily those types of dudes. You know, so
yeah.
a lot of the cats that blow up out of Atlanta are not really lyrical cats. And so, you know, so if somebody who was lyrically adept was to become a huge success commercially, that would be great.
And actually, I think Atlanta needs that. The old guard are starting to fade away. You know, your Outkast, your Ludacris, T.I.,
mm-hmm.
those guys are like, you know, they doing whatever they doing movie-wise, you know, other group-wise. Big Boy has a...
Andre out running behind butterflies or something in a field, probably.
Hey, no, I thought he got rid of
Love
America.
Love Andre 3000, though.
I thought
Shout
he got rid
Andre.
Of America.
Even if he is, he's a different cat.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. But you know what, man? When he wants to, like, really get down on the mic and rhyme, I remember that
incredible.
The last thing that I really recall of his, that Royal Flush that he came out with, that he just, like, flowed on.
He did. He did.
And so, but those guys are starting to kind of, like, fade from memory. I mean, we do remember them, but they're almost going into, like, you know, being considered in the Hall of Fame of Atlanta
mm-hmm.
rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is time for some new blood, but you need some new blood that is not – caught up and stuck in the in constant trap mode, you know, as
right.
you know. So good that this JID kid is you know, kind of breaking the mold, and hopefully he will be the next breakout person to come from here. So
I certainly hope so, man, because like I said, some of his production is more trap based, or what I would consider trap anyway, but I can tolerate it to a certain extent because of what he is lyrically.
Yeah.
You know,
makes
and now
a big difference.
If you got trap beats and you talking gibberish, then I can't.
Then
really,
yeah, throw the whole song away.
Yeah, exactly. And the artist.
And the artist too. Yeah.
You know, one thing that surprised me, Eric, on this last album that I wanted to talk about, Rick Ross, Port of Miami 2. Now I'm gonna say this. People who know me already know this, but if you don't know me, I'll tell you something about myself. I have never been a Rick Ross fan, ever.
Yeah.
The production though on Port of Miami 2 is so nice.
Justice League on the production.
I don't know who all is.
I'm pretty sure some of them. You of course know when a lot of his songs come on, you'll hear the Justice League in the background.
Uh-huh.
So I know they're usually heavily involved with him. What's the dude? Actually, he's a ninth disciple as well.
Crisis,
yes. Thank you. My mind was going bad. I was like, a K.
Yeah, Crisis also does production on the new Little
right.
Brother album as well.
Right. So, yeah. He also is a great young, you know, producer. Well, hard to say who's young anymore because Rhapsody is 36. You know,
man,
weirdness.
Listen, that is a lot of times I forget about that, you know.
Yeah.
Relatively, it's relative to our age.
Yeah.
They are young.
Yeah. So.
But that album, man, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And Rick Ross is, even though he's never been somebody, and again, I have to shout out one of my younger brothers for pointing this out to me. He said Rick Ross's production has always been great.
Yes.
He's just never been great lyrically, but his production's always been really good.
Yeah, solid production. Like you said, on this Port of Miami 2, the song that I love on there is White Lines. The beats are so, they're luxurious.
Yes.
I feel like I should have on like a fur. And
a long one.
A long Joe Namath fur and jewelry and just be plushed out, you know, Gucci
and on
shoes.
A yacht.
Yes, exactly. Standing on the front, arm spread, the whole whatever you can imagine plushness to be.
Right.
That beat sort of lends itself to that.
Whole album kind of has that
yeah.
feel.
Yeah.
Which is great because when you think about it, albums, when you think about classic albums, they tend to have a concept or a general theme.
Yeah.
And they make you feel a certain way. Like, well, we always say, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy always felt like the revolution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole album feels that way. So Port of Miami 2, it feels like I'm rich and I'm on a yacht in Miami.
Right.
And I'm just excessive with it. And, you know, I'm just glamorous and glorious. And,
yeah.
And that's it. And the whole album feels like that.
Right.
My only beef is I forgot which song, but there's one song on there. They said that Pusha T had a verse. The song I think that Lil Wayne is on. And Pusha T's verse was left off of the song.
Oh, okay.
And then it was released. The verse was released on the internet. And when you hear it on the internet, you're like, "Yo, they should have put
Pusha's verse." They should have kept that on. Yeah, yeah.
Because it is good.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap up this segment. Our engineer Daniel is telling us that we're probably talking a little bit too much and too long.
Wrap it up, B.
So we're gonna wrap up the segment, and then in the next segment, we're gonna explain to you exactly why it is we've had the conversation that we've had about the music that we're listening to today.
The scene in a minute, my new lit is the candles.